This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Mark Chapman. Welcome to the Planet Premier League podcast. Each week, Cesc Fabregas, Nader Manua and myself talk all things Premier League.
As a player, you don't have time to talk.
No.
You don't have time to make a plan. You just need to deal with wave after wave after wave.
We watched Coach Carter and he said, afterwards, the game's just about doing this for your teammates. And I remember looking around halfway through the film and half the squad was asleep.
Planet Premier League. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everybody, this is Richard Deitch, and welcome to the Sports Media Podcast. Yes, it is emergency podcast time. The Big Ten announces a television rights deal totaling over $8 billion with Fox, CBS, and NBC. And my colleague from The Athletic, Stuart Mendel, a senior writer there who has covered college football for a long time, kind enough to join me as we tape this on the same day. Also, shout out to Patrick Antonetti for changing his schedule so we can tape this. Stu, welcome to the Sports Media Podcast, and let us start big, writ large. What's your sort of overall takeaway from what has finally become official today?
Well, you know, the details about which networks were involved have been trickling out for a while, right? So, last week's big news was that ESPN is out. So to me, it was about the number, finding out the number today, and it's just staggering. You know, it had been reported over the last few months of like they're hoping to get. And what they actually got is a little north of $8 billion over 7 years. And what's crazy about that is it's not like their last deal was done 15 years ago. The deal that they're currently in began in 2017, and that was worth $440 million a year. And that was considered really big. This one is north of $1 billion a year, more like, you know, close to $1.2 billion a year. I'm not good at math, Richard, but it seems to be like a 160% increase in 6 years. It's enormous. And it says a lot about the TV. Like, I think the Big Ten timed it perfectly, and credit to Jim Delaney, who went with a shorter deal last time, that just in the span of 6 years, it shows how much more desperate, frankly, the networks are to make sure they keep these big lucrative sports properties, because we know Apple's getting involved. We know Amazon's getting involved, and the last thing they can afford, I mean, live sports, right, is basically all ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox have left, and they can't afford to lose it. So the price went up.
Yeah. They teach in sports media writing schools, Stu. They always bet on major increases when it comes to sports media rights. And we saw that today. So, there's a lot of obviously really interesting things about this deal. I think for me, maybe the biggest takeaway, and you just sort of touched on a little bit, is the power of linear television still remaining when it comes to major sports properties. And, you know, you could read my piece on The Athletic. You could read Nicole Auerbach. Scott Dockerman has a piece. Andy Staples has a piece. I imagine Stu will be weighing in soon enough. One of the things that all of the television executives that I spoke with, it was almost as if they were reading from the same talking points memo, is the power of on a Saturday going from noon on Fox to 3:30 on CBS to 7, 8 o'clock on NBC. All linear television, all showing Big Ten football games. And that's a big deal, Stu, to me in 2022, given that, you know, we really aren't in the era of streaming. We've heard so much about, you know, when will ESPN finally, you know, dump all of their programming to ESPN Plus, et cetera. And today's Big Ten deal, honestly, was like really like a salvo for the linear networks to sort of say, hey, like, it is still very, at least from the Big Ten's perspective, it is still very important for us to be on over-the-air linear television.
Yeah, and the key is over-the-air, right? You know, this I'm going to plagiarize somebody here. I don't remember who said this, but you know, this deal could have easily been a deal announced in 1972, right? It's broadcast networks exclusively, and to me that is a complete reversal from if you go back to the start of the 2010s. I mean, I remember what a big deal it was when ESPN got the BCS and then later the CFP, and instead of putting the national championship game on ABC, put it on ESPN. And then the NCAA tournament made a deal, you know, that had always been on CBS, and they made that deal. And even to this day, right, TBS gets the Final Four every few years. But cord cutting came, and the networks or the companies, you know, emphasis shifted from cable back to broadcast. And, you know, I think Kevin Warren comes from the NFL. He's turning the model he just announced today is an NFL model. I mean, this is almost mirrors exactly, right? Switch the order a little bit. But when you watch on an NFL Sunday, you are watching some games on CBS. You're watching some games on Fox. Then you watch NBC in prime time, right? It's very similar to that.
Stu, this will be a pretty big talking point, not just today, but in the days ahead. I remember having Andy Staples on this podcast not too long ago, so I know where he comes from. How do you view ESPN not being part of the Big Ten? And let me sort of just say for the listeners who are listening, I don't think that there's any chance that ESPN is somehow not going to show up with College Game Day in Ann Arbor or Columbus. Networks can be petty, but networks aren't dumb. You can't avoid the Big Ten. That would just be a bad editorial decision. That said, there has always been a conventional wisdom that you want to be associated with ESPN if you're a sports rights property in the U.S. So how do you see the realism now over the next 7 years that the Big Ten will not have a formal contractual agreement with ESPN?
To me, it's more symbolic than anything. I'm with you. People have brought up the NHL comparison, right? It was very noticeable how much ESPN ignored the NHL once they didn't have the rights. And that's part of why the NHL went back. No offense to you guys up in Canada who love hockey. Hockey's not as big a sport here as college football. And in particular,
Stu, by the way, just for the record, you know, I am still an American citizen.
Okay. Yeah, I know. You didn't renounce us yet. Hockey, NHL hockey is not Ohio State football. You know, the ESPN, it can't cover, and they have the college football playoff, let's not forget. So they have an investment in the entire sport. And yeah, you can't ignore, or maybe they're going to ignore Illinois and Rutgers, but they're not going to ignore Ohio State and Michigan. So it's not so much that. I mean, I think the big symbolism and obviously what college sports fans care about is the two super conference era, right? The Big Ten and the SEC are gobbling up the other conference's best teams and are so clearly, you know, kind of the future of the sport revolves around them. And, you know, right now, both of those leagues have their games on multiple companies, but going forward, SEC is the ESPN conference and Big Ten is the Fox conference, or if you want to say the Fox CBS NBC conference, like these two big forces, you know, these foils, if you will, now have their networks. I'm going to use a political analogy, but I'm not equating one ideology to the other. But basically, it's like ESPN is, let's just leave out those ones, right? It's like CNN and Fox News, or MSNBC and Fox News maybe is the better version, with these networks being almost a proxy for the two conferences.
Every one of these entities that landed Big Ten rights today, I think can say, hey, we got what we wanted. CBS wanted the 3:30 window. They got it. I think NBC legitimately wanted prime time because they wanted some kind of like Notre Dame Big Ten back-to-back. They got it. Obviously, Fox gets a great deal, a lot of inventory, et cetera. If you were going to sort of just take a step back, do you think one set of inventory is better than another? And if so, why?
Well, Fox gets the best games, right? So they get Ohio State, Michigan, which is the most valuable game of all. So, you know, and it's not surprising, right? I mean, the unusual element of this whole thing is that Fox, which owns 61% of the Big Ten network, I mean, they were hand in hand with the Big Ten in these meetings with the other networks. Like, they helped decide which other networks would be involved. Their part of it was wrapped up months ago. So Fox gets the best games. But, you know, even the number two game in the Big Ten, especially once USC is in it, and it's a 16-team conference, the second best game in the Big Ten in a given week is still going to be a really big game. And, you know, CBS obviously losing the SEC needed something. You know, I remember when they first lost the SEC, people are like, oh, they're going to go get the Pac-12 or the Big 12. I'm like, no. They're going to go get, like, I didn't know for sure that they were going to get the Big 10, but I knew they were going to either go big or go home, right? They want games that are going to get 4, 5, 6 million viewers a week. And there's only two conferences really that provide those.
Do you, from your perspective, does this mean anything specific for Notre Dame? Notre Dame still, I think, is, if they remain an independent, they're looking at $50, $60, $70 million from someone, likely from NBC, who I think would love to maintain that relationship. That said, I mean, you don't have to be a genius to understand the value of Notre Dame heading to the Big Ten, both for the Big Ten and Notre Dame.
Well, I think Notre Dame wants to stay an independent if they can work, make it work financially. And when the USC-UCLA thing first happened, a lot of people, myself included, felt like, okay, this might be the final straw, right? Because, you know, that conference is now going to be making so much more than them. But as the month, 6 weeks have gone on, people I respect, like John Oren, have said, no, I think it is realistic that Notre Dame, which currently makes, I believe, $22 million a year for their package.
It's around this. Yeah. Something like that. Yep.
Really could get $60, $70 million, which seems insane to me because they only play 7 home games a year. And some of them are against Rice or Toledo or whatnot. But as we just saw, you know, with this deal, rights are doubling, tripling in a short amount of time. So if they can get that kind of number, and plus they also get a share of the ACC non-football revenue, and then they can make it work. Then they can stay independent. And if I'm NBC, I'd actually prefer that because I think they love the idea of a doubleheader. If Notre Dame joins the Big Ten and it's just part of that primetime package along with Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, everybody else, you know, they're probably going to show fewer Notre Dame games than they do now. So I think for them, the ideal is that Notre Dame stays independent, renews with them instead of going to another network, obviously. And they can have a 3:30 or a 3:30, 7:30 or whatever it might be doubleheader.
Yeah. I mean, I think, that, you know, counterintuitively too, maybe like remaining independent makes you sort of special in today's environment. But, you know, we'll see how that plays out. You know, this is, again, very, very, you know, an inside college football kind of thing for people like yourself who cover this on a day-to-day basis. But there's going to be a lot of talk about, like, you know, did the SEC move too quick? Did Greg Sankey make a mistake by not setting his deal up to come up for negotiation before this current Big Ten deal comes up? From my vantage point, Stu, I think whenever you come up, you're going to get an increase. So when the SEC's contract comes up with the ESPN contract comes up in 2034, they're going to be looking at a monster increase. When the Big Ten contract ends, I'm sorry, comes up in 2029, unless, again, the world is over, like, they're going to get an increase. So I don't always think that's that big a deal, but I am sure there will certainly be a lot of columns today saying that Kevin Warren, like, is sort of the conference president winner here because he has set his conference up not only for a monster pay deal today, but he's going to be going to market before the SEC.
And I agree with him. I mean, I think Kevin Warren, who got a lot of criticism when he first got on the job and COVID, outmaneuvered Sankey on this one. You know, it was kind of unusual what the SEC did. Their deal isn't up till 2024, but they did it for, it got it done 4 years early. It was never going to stay with CBS. They've been at odds with CBS for a long, long time. It also didn't go open for bidding. I mean, the Big Ten just had a very public bidding war between all these networks. The SEC just they already had, you know, the relationship with ESPN for the SEC network, and they really like the idea of having all their games under one roof. So they just did a deal with ESPN, and look, the number ESPN paid was very, very big as well. But now 2 years later, it's already been lapped. If you're the SEC spin on it, though, would be it was that deal that prompted Oklahoma and Texas to come to their league. Oklahoma and Texas saw that deal. And specifically, this is a little inside baseball, but after that deal got announced, the Big 12 went to ESPN and Fox and said, hey, we'd like to do the same thing. Our deal's not up for 4 years, but we'd like to open the negotiations now. And they said, sorry, not interested. And it was like the next day, from what I've been told, that OU and Texas were on the phone with Greg Sankey. So in that respect, right, it ended up paying huge dividends for them. But, you know, college football fans argue about everything. They want superiority in everything. And as the years go on here, and, you know, the annual USA Today thing will come out or whatever, and it shows that the Big Ten teams are making $10 million more per year than the SEC teams or whatever it might be, you know, SEC fans aren't going to like that.
Yeah, just as Stu mentioned before, I think the, you know, depending on what year it is, the NBC Notre Dame deal is either $15 million annually or like $22 million annually, depending on sort of what year we're in. But that sort of just gives you a sense of what they might be looking at in terms of an increase. I want to ask you, Stu, about the – because obviously today there's going to be a lot of talk about football, and understandably so. That's what's driving this entire deal. But the deal that we all reported on today is not just a football deal. There's all sport inventory on this, including men's and women's basketball. And in talking to Sean McManus, like when I did yesterday, like he made it a big point to say, one, we really wanted to protect the Big Ten men's basketball semifinals and championship game, which we're going to have for the duration of the tournament. And we're getting the women's basketball championship game now on over-the-air CBS every year. When I talked to NBC, like they really hit on that they have much more college basketball inventory. And Pete Pavakwa even was like, we got golf inventory here for the Big Ten network, from the Big Ten. And while you might not think that's a big deal, it is a big deal for us because we have our golf channel ties. So when you look at some of the inventory, Stu, that's coming to these networks, what were your thoughts about the non-football stuff?
Yeah, my thoughts were that it just shows that the college basketball is just so devalued. You know, they're shoving a lot of those games on Peacock, right? So college basketball, I mean, let me put it this way. When people talk about the impact of losing ESPN, I actually think it'll be felt much more in basketball. Because, you know, they're not going to be those weeknight games are not going to be on ESPN anymore. And you're going to have to go looking for them. You know, I mean, Big Ten Network has always shown a lot of those games. But the game, you know, the Purdue Indiana game that's usually Wednesday at 9 p.m. on ESPN might be on Peacock now. And you're going to have to go hunting for it. So I think that their men's basketball will lose a lot of exposure. Now, the flip side, like you said, the women's basketball getting their championship on CBS is huge for them. I can't imagine they've had anything close to that before, but that's one game. I think, you know, I just think the reality of it is, and college basketball fans don't like it, but football drives these things. They don't break it out by sport. So I don't know, you know, we have no way of knowing like how much was basketball a part of this monetarily. But in the last deal, because CBS had a separate basketball deal, we did know that number. And you know what it was? $10 million a year. $10 million a year for 13 basketball games, including the Big Ten championship. And here we are talking about over $1 billion a year for this deal. And it just shows you how much more football is valued than basketball.
Let me ask you, this is something I talked about with Nicole and Scott Dockerman on we did a live room for The Athletic earlier this morning, and again, taping this on Thursday, August 18th. We talked about, and I asked Nicole and Scott this because they're far closer to it than I am, and you are far closer to this than I am. Do you think that the college football fans will subscribe to Peacock to get these exclusive games? And so sort of meaning like if I'm a Purdue fan or a Michigan State fan and like Michigan State Purdue is like Peacock's exclusive game like week six. Like, I get why NBC wanted the exclusivity because they're trying to make Peacock more valuable and they want to sell subscriptions. But in your opinion, like, is that content enough to drive those fans to subscribe? Or would they be like, okay, we're willing to miss these one or two games and we'll wait for it to be on over the air? Like, how do you see it?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if it's just one game and it's not even a particularly significant game, you know, that seems hard to believe. I know this, the first kind of window into this was last season. NBC put Notre Dame, actually was Notre Dame Toledo the second week of the season on Peacock. And so did Notre, you know, I don't know if I ever, if did they ever release that data? How many Notre Dame fans subscribed?
No, the Peacock's viewership is pretty proprietary. And not to mention to be very honest, like, streaming numbers are always a little hard to decipher.
What I would imagine happened, because I've seen that, you know, what I would imagine happened is a lot of people signed up for some sort of free trial, you know, or like 1 month deal and then canceled it. Right. So to me, I think, you know, we'll see. I don't know how it'll play out, but I guess the answer is if, you know, some of those schools like Purdue and Indiana in particular, where they care as much, if not more, about basketball, would probably sign up for Peacock for the basketball. And then they get to see that one football game versus, you know, Penn State, right? If Penn State has one football game on Peacock and they do not care about basketball, are they going to sign up for a year's subscription? I don't know. But I do know, right, Peacock has the Premier League. So, you know, that whatever that Venn diagram is of Premier League fans and Big Ten fans, that's the sweet spot right there.
Well, the interesting thing will be is if the Big Ten and Peacock ever decide to put a real game of significance as an exclusive streaming only game. That'll be the test. And I don't think that happens first year, but I would not be surprised 3-4 years down the line, you know, Kevin Warren and company, assuming Kevin Warren's still there, work with NBC and we're like, all right, let's just do a little experiment and let's have these two top 20 teams meet on Peacock and see what happens.
I don't know what the specifics are of how that breaks down, right? Like, with the way these things work is there's a draft. And,
yep.
You know, each so you draft the games. Can NBC use their, and let's say they have the number two pick 1 week, can they use that and then
they can't,
stash
I believe,
the game?
Yeah, it's a great question. I talked to McManus a little bit about the draft, and he said there's a selection process where all the partners will, like, sort of get a rotation of number one picks.
Mm-hmm.
So Fox will get the number one overall pick every year, and they don't pick the game. They pick the week. So Fox is going to pick the week of Ohio State, Michigan, as you said, Stu. So let's just sort of make this pretending. It's week seven. It's NBC's pick. NBC gets the first pick. They take USC versus Michigan. I think they're allowed to put that on Peacock.
Well, okay. That's the key detail.
Yeah. Now, I don't think they will. Like, certainly year one, and I'm sure the Big Ten – as rights holder partnerships happen, like, I think they'll talk about it, and because they want these games to head to the highest possible thing, but they have the capabilities. Here's the reality: why I don't think like a game like that would ever go to Peacock. I don't think NBC would be willing to give up the advertising dollars that like that kind of game would get on over the air TV.
Yeah, and I don't know the financial calculus of, you know, what brings in more money for them. One football game's worth of ads or, you know, X number of subscribers that sign up because of that game. I don't know.
I don't think that I'm not even sure they know. That would be an experiment that's yet to happen.
I think we're still, you know, I think we're still years away from the streaming services carrying big games. If anything, this Big Ten deal kind of reaffirmed that, you know, it's the importance of placing their most important games on to the biggest audience. Now, this deal is done. Next up is the Pac-12, which is fighting to survive in the wake of losing USC and UCLA. And they may find that their most lucrative, you know, that their biggest payday comes if they do put some of their big games on streaming. So I'm really fascinated to see that aspect of it. There were rumors. I don't even call it rumors. I know for a fact that they talked to Apple and Amazon, the Big Ten did, for possibly getting that package, but in the end they decided to let NBC and Peacock have it. So but at some point somebody's going to do it.
Yeah, I got pretty good sourcing on this, that Amazon actually was willing to pay more money than NBC and CBS, and ultimately the Big Ten went elsewhere. I do think the Pac-12 is going to have a streaming partner.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, that's my prediction, whether it's Amazon or Apple.
It's just how good of games are you willing to put? I mean, Apple came to the Pac-12, came when Larry Scott was still the commissioner. Apple came to them, I want to say at least three years ago, and said, we will buy, you know, we'll buy your rights right now. If you'll, but it's got to be the best games, and that, you know, obviously they weren't ready to do that. So,
yep.
You know, if let's say the Pac-12 talks to Apple, I don't think Apple cares about the Oregon State, you know, Washington State game. No offense to those two schools, right? They're going to be like, if we do this, we want to be able to put Oregon on, we want to be able to put Stanford on, and we'll see how you know, if they're willing to do that.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Two last ones for me. One, I think today's news will make it more likely, if it wasn't already a fait accompli, that ESPN is going to get Pac-12 rights. How do you see it?
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's just how much are they willing to pay for it? You know, right now, the you know, soap opera, if you will, in college football right now is the Big 12 is very aggressively pursuing Pac-12 schools. They want, you know, they want to step up and say, hey, we have power now after being, you know, really weakened after losing OU and Texas. Pac-12 schools aren't interested in that. They want to make this thing work. But if ESPN comes in with a really low ball offer, you know, that might change the equation. And then, of course, the other factor is the Big Ten is not exactly closing the door to the idea that maybe in a couple months, maybe in a couple years, they might add more Pac-12 schools. They might add Oregon and Washington. So, you know, there's a lot of importance right now that they not just get a deal with ESPN, but that ESPN is going to give them a pretty significant bump. It won't be what they would have gotten with the LA schools, obviously, but they need it to be a pretty significant bump so that an Oregon, for instance, will feel comfortable signing. Because once you sign that thing, you know, you've cut yourself off from a possible Big Ten invitation for however many years that deal is. So they need that number to be enticing enough to want to, you know, recommit to the Pac-12 as versus, you know, kind of keeping one door open for the Big Ten.
And the last one I want to ask you is about programming. And this was pretty interesting to me. And talking to a lot of people over the last couple of days, it was posited to me that if they were in charge of ESPN programming, you know, they were working for Burke Magnus or under Burke Magnus, they would cede the noon Eastern time slot to Fox. Let Fox roll up with its pregame show. By the way, we'll look forward very soon to the news that Urban Meyer's returning.
Has that really not been announced?
It's not been announced yet.
But, I mean, the guy was at their offsite.
I think I reported that in April, yeah. And we'll see. Still feel confident that formal announcement's coming any day. So the thought, like the posit or the thesis is, let Fox like push everything into noon. They're gonna get a great game anyway. You can't beat them. So at noon, you have a quote unquote lower tier SEC game. And then if you're ESPN, load up 3:30, load up primetime, try to beat CBS and NBC.
Well, I think, you know, they haven't said this for certain, but I think they will keep alive the tradition of the 3:30, you know, the SEC game of the week being at 3:30, right? So that'll be on ABC. The ABC primetime game that has, you know, kind of been shared amongst several conferences over the years, including the Big Ten. I don't know. There might be some sort of stipulation that they have to put X number of ACC games. I don't know. But I would imagine most, if not all weeks, that will be a big SEC game. And then that noon window, that might be where they stash the you know, Pitt Wake Forest game. Like they do have some obligations to some of the other conferences that they need to that they need to fulfill. And, you know, and one of those obligations, by the way, is the SEC network. It's not like they can put all the SEC games on ESPN and ESPN2. So, but I agree with you. That Fox Big Ten game is going to be a mega ratings game almost every week. So there's no need, there's probably no incentive to put, a top 15 SEC game opposite that.
Here's the last one for me. This is just a fun one for me. If you're ESPN, what's the SEC school that you're hoping really becomes like a top five or top 10 to change the equation in terms of viewership? Is it Texas or is it?
It's Texas. Else? I mean, Texas does big numbers. You know, I've delved into these numbers a lot because of Big 12 realignment. Texas over the last six or so seasons, I mean, they have drawn significantly more viewers than USC. And it's not like Texas was any better than USC during that period. So, I mean, they still have a lot of power as a brand. And if they become a national championship contender again, and you've got, first of all, Fox's has an actual Texas Alabama game week two this season. That audience will be huge. And now imagine if it were that same game, but it's an SEC matchup and they're both in the top 10. I mean, that's their dream, I think. I mean, there's other programs, obviously. I'm sure they wish Florida was better than they have been the past few years. LSU had that big run with Joe Burrow, but then they've slipped off the last couple of years, and now they have Brian Kelly. I think the difference between the SEC and the Big Ten, though, is the SEC is just deeper, right? They go 7-8 deep of programs that people tune in to watch, regardless of what they're ranked that season. The Big Ten has more like three, maybe four. You're always going to watch Ohio State. You're always going to watch Michigan. I think Penn State is not on their level, but pretty high. But that starts to drop off. And that includes Nebraska, who, when they got them, if you'd gotten them in the 90s, would have been one of those programs. So the SEC is kind of going to do okay, regardless of who the contenders are in a given year.
A shout out to Nebraska. Producer Patrick Antonetti still, he remains a big fan of the Cornhuskers. Stu, it was really good of you to come on. A very busy day for everybody on the college football staff at The Athletic. Read Stuart Mandel's work on The Athletic. He's a longtime senior writer and editor there. Obviously, you can follow him on Twitter as well. And we'll be reading, Stu. By the way, check out Bruce Feldman and Stuart Mandel's podcast, The Audible. Am I correct?
The Audible, yep. Our weekly podcast, actually twice a week once the season starts. Now, speaking of kind of your world, right, TV, on our episode that went up Wednesday, we had a roundtable discussion about the Manti Te'o documentary on Netflix.
Listen to that. That's interesting. Yeah, I thought it was a really – I thought the producers did a great job. It's really fascinating, and I'm really happy for Te'o. I feel like in a horrific story for him as a – 21-year-old, he seems to have found clarity and a new purpose, I think, in telling his story to others. So that I think that for I imagine you do as well, Stu. But I totally recommend that doc.
Yeah, I recommend it for sure. I was shocked that Manti would sit down for it, given the pain and the humiliation this caused for him. But I'm glad he did. And I think, once you watch it, you'll realize why.
Check out Stu Mandel's work on The Athletic. Stu, thanks so much today for joining me on the Sports Media Podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Back in the studio. Very good of my colleague, Stu Mandel, to come on for this emergency podcast. But wanted to definitely do something today, just given the big news and all the media implications. So thank you to Stuart Mandel. Head to the archives. There's definitely some things you like. The last couple podcasts did Secrets of Writing for the WWE and a Professional Wrestling Company with Brian Gewirtz. He's got a book out now, The Rise of the Black Quarterback and What It Means for America, with Anscape NFL writer Jason Reed. Last week, a conversation with Dr. Danny Gilbert, U.S. hostage policy expert, on what's next for Brittany Griner. TJ Quinn, the fine investigative reporter of ESPN, part of that as well. And then Joe Buck came on to talk about Vince Scully, who passed away earlier this month. The archives should have some stuff that you're interested in. Thanks to all the support for this podcast. Please leave us a review. 5-star reviews are always awesome, and a nice note if you like it. That's how this podcast continues. And thank you to Patrick Antonetti for popping on for this emergency podcast. Thanks to everybody, Kate 13. And most of all, thank you for listening. We'll see you soon on the Sports Media Podcast.